The following takes place between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. Events occur.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to FPC Radio Live. It's Thursday. It's October the 7th. That's right. It's Thursday Night Football. We have the Rams and the Seahawks on tap tonight, an NFC West battle that I'm sure we're all looking forward to because it never, ever disappoints. And then add in the fact that so far this season, primetime games have been, I don't use this phrase often, off the charts, so to speak. John, does that make me cool and hip to say that, off the charts? Is that in now, or am I just completely off base here?
Well, I'm like 20 years older than you, so yeah, I don't know if I'm the right person to ask.
You're certainly not the authority on this, right? Right? Right?
No, I'd say the games have been woke. How's that sound? Is that hip enough?
that might be a little bit too hip for me. You know, I know is no. Look, for the sake of not dating ourselves too much, I'm going to kind of end this little back and forth right now because I think we're getting into the point where we're going to start talking about leather helmets and when linemen didn't even use their hands to block. Okay, I'm not that old. John is. I'm not. So just to clarify, no, obviously, like I said to open the show, the primetime games this season have been pretty phenomenal for the most part. I mean, these games have been coming down to the wire. Sometimes they're last second field goals, all that stuff. So I'm excited, not to mention, again, I mean, you're talking about potentially two of the best teams in the NFC. Well, not only the NFC, but the NFC West, and we spent a lot of time talking about that division. So I'm pretty excited about that. Before we do that, though, since we've been desperately trying to do this since the beginning of the week, we're finally going to do our quarterback power rankings for this week. We're late by like 2.5 days, but it's okay. We're going to get it out there. And you and I talked about this the other day, and I just want to warn you that I lost my actual sheet, John. So if there's a slight variation in as to what I told you, just be aware that that might happen because now, I lost my original sheet.
You're making fun of me for being old, right, Ian? Okay, and that's fine. I'm okay. But I put my list on my phone, on my notes, so I don't lose it. You're the guy with the old school notes,
oh,
right?
Oh, like yeah. You know what? Screw putting in notes in phone and all that stuff. Give me the notebook. Give me, you know, something
like
I can
Belichick.
Go to. Yeah, well, hey, look. Sometimes I feel like it's just a little bit too much work. It's a little bit too much work and it's too much hassle where it's like, just give me a pen, give me a piece of paper. I'll write it down. I'll put my chicken scratch on the paper
go.
And, you know, I'll be happy with it. Yeah, so if my list varies slightly from what I told you, I don't think it did. I think I have it exactly the way I told you, but I don't really remember, so we'll have to deal with it. Ready to knock it out of the park? Ready to do this?
Yeah,
I know that was the bad analogy, the wrong analogy to use in this, but
hey, it's baseball season.
Yeah,
right?
It is. FYI, Dodgers beat the Cardinals last night. Anyway, so
now they're going to lose to the Giants.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So quarterback power rankings, as we've done in the last several weeks, countdown from 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We're each going to give our quarterback rankings and then go from there. So without further ado, I'll start. Number five, Mr. Patrick Mahomes. He's found himself outside of this top five for a little bit now. But he's slowly getting back to normal again. You know, the guy's going to put up numbers. That's just how this offense works. You know, I'm not going to sit here and rehash all my criticisms of him. But you know, I think again, you know, when it comes down to it, you're talking about, you know, one of the 3, 4, 5 best quarterbacks in the league right now. And right now he's playing within that top five. So give me Patrick Mahomes at number five.
I'm going to go with Russell Wilson. We'll get to see him tonight. I know the Seahawks are only 2-2. They've played in like so many strange games this year. Their two losses, they had double-digit leads, which they blew. Their defense to me is very shaky. Their offensive line can be a problem, but I think he adds to the problems of the offensive line because setting protection or holding the ball too long, you know, leads to a lot of sacks. He's been the most sacked quarterback since he entered the league, but he is playing at a very, very high level. No interceptions in the first 4 weeks, so I've got Russell Wilson at number five.
Yep, Yeah, I mean, I was kind of going back and forth whether or not to who to add in here. So, you know, you can go either way with that. Number four for me, your guy, Mr. Aaron Rodgers. You know, he's had three good games in a row. You know, nothing incredibly spectacular. That's not a knock on him. I'm just saying, like, he's rebounded very nicely from that first game and made you very quickly forget about that disaster in week one, because it's like, whoa, wait a minute, what happened to him? And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, no, this is the same Aaron Rodgers. It's the second best quarterback in the league, in my opinion. I think we share that opinion too. So, let's just put it this way. On this show, my opinion is more right. So
it's your show. That's true. That's when I go on the Pick and Roll NBA podcast with Jet Stryer, I can let everyone know. No, look, I think they are the two best quarterbacks. And of course, everyone knows we're talking about Brady and Rodgers. Yeah. I think they play the position differently than everyone else, like from the neck up. And Brady's the master of that. So yeah, no, I mean, that's a fun debate. I mean, the history of football, no, there's no comparison. Tom Brady has distanced himself from everyone else that ever played the position, especially in the Super Bowl era. I've said this a million times. I don't know how you compare Johnny Unitas to Tom Brady. It was a totally different sport back in the 50s and 60s. But no, he's still playing at a ridiculously high level. In fact, I think he played well Sunday night against the Patriots. A lot of people think he didn't. He got the job done, right? He got his team closer to the game-winning field goal that Jones got his team to kick a potential game-winning field goal. So, yeah, no, we look at it pretty much the same way that those two dudes are the two best. I agree with you. I've got Rodgers at number four. The first week was a disaster, but don't you get the feeling the NFL this year, the first week, just felt like the next preseason game? Like, they only had three preseason games this year.
Yeah, yeah.
In some ways, it almost felt like the fourth preseason game because Buffalo was god-awful the first week. I mean, no excuse. That everyone knew that was the first week of the regular season, so be ready to play. And maybe they rue the day they didn't show up that day, the Packers, because, you know, down the stretch, if there's tiebreakers or if they are not the number one seed because of one game, they can look back and say, hey, we didn't show up week one against New Orleans. It's a regular season game. They all count. I get it. But we see some – I mean, Houston won in week one, right?
Yeah.
So, like, that's always interesting. And at that point, Houston had more wins than the Packers and Bills combined. Even though the Packers and Bills are Super Bowl teams. But I got Rodgers at number four. I last Sunday against Pittsburgh, and again, that's a really good defense. I was a little disappointed at the end of the game the way they wrapped things up. I you think that he was going to break a record to surpass Philip Rivers fifth all time in touchdown passes. And, like, I'm not huge on that. Win the game first. Like, if it's a blowout, go ahead and do it. They were up 17, and I thought their game management was not very good down the stretch. Just run the football, get out of there with the win, avoid injuries, all that, you know, cliche-ridden stuff. But I have him at number four with you, and I think he's only going to move up the rankings. He seems to be locked in right now.
Yeah, I mean, like we said when we first started doing this, like, at a certain point in the season, the names on the list aren't going to change too much. Maybe the overall rankings and how we rank them well. But, you know, the first week, I mean, it was such a, you know, craziness of mixed names and all that stuff. You're not going to get that too much, you know, moving forward. Because, again, I mean, when it's all said and done, the very best quarterbacks outside of all these, like, little runs that these quarterbacks have and everything like that, the best quarterbacks are always going to be the best quarterbacks. And I'm talking about, of course, Brady and Rodgers. And then, you know, I do throw Mahomes, not in that level, but in that mix. But with him, I also include guys like, you know, Justin Herbert is obviously well on his way. I know that brings a smile to your face. Well on his way to becoming one of those elite guys. I mean, Kyler Murray, we're going to talk about here in a minute. Matt Stafford, obviously. So, you know, I think there's, let's just put it this way. I think there's a, like you said, there's a pretty big gap. There's a gap between Brady, Rodgers, and the rest. And, you know, then on top of that, you know, kind of looking at it under a microscope, I think there's a, you know, personally, I think there's a gap between Brady and Rodgers. But the most part, like you said, those are the two, in my opinion, and I think it's pretty easy to come to this conclusion, they're clearly the two smartest quarterbacks in the league. And until people,
now that Drew Brees is out of the league.
Yeah, and even then, I wouldn't, like, I don't know, We can go on and on about Drew Brees another day. I mean, I like
I'm with you on that. I think he's slightly overrated. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I mean, he's had five losing seasons. He played in the dome, soft division. You know, I mean, Rodgers and Brady played outdoors in frigid conditions. and kind of like, you know, the Northeast or the upper Midwest. So, I was always give them the edge on that. Even Peyton Manning, as much as I think the third greatest quarterback in the Super Bowl era, played in the dome for most of his career. That does help.
Sure.
I just picture Brady and Rodgers playing in a dome. It's like, my Lord.
It'd be amazing.
What type of numbers would they be putting up? I mean, I think Rodgers in a dome has like a 120 passer rating. By the way, as you were talking about all those quarterbacks, not to cut you off, but I know you're not a big passer rating guy, but it's just something to look at.
Uh-huh.
There's currently 14 quarterbacks in the NFL with a passer rating over 100. So I think the position is in pretty good hands.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that actually kind of plays into how silly I think passer rating is, just based on, I mean, look, I've said it before, and I said, in the year 2001, when Tom Brady first started playing, the average passer rating was like 78, 79. That was league average. And if you're around there, right around 80, which he was, and he was over league average, you're in great shape. I mean, that's great. And it just kind of speaks to how this game has changed. And when people sit there and say, it was the same era. No, it wasn't. And, to have half the league over 100 passer rating really just kind of speaks to how, in my opinion, how silly passer rating is in general. And look, I kind of think QBR is that way too. I mean, we've always kind of looked at QBR as being like this more inclusive stat. But, the reality of it is, and this goes back to what, the essence of what we believe is, you can't measure what's in between the quarterback's head. And it's not cliche to say, like, we're not just like throwing out a broad term like, oh, talent. People use the word talent like it's infallible. It's like, no, you have to actually tell me what talent means to you. What we're saying is the smarts in between the ears there, between the quarterbacks, you cannot measure with a stat, without QBR. You can't put context to everything. Like, at a certain point, you're going to realize that these stats are very flawed. It's why Tyrod Taylor is somehow at the bottom of the quarterback list, but his QBR, or his passer rating, is like the second best in the league. And it's like, that doesn't make sense. And people use it as like, the Bible when it comes to determining who and, who's playing the best quarterback. So to be honest with you, and this is not a rant I want to get on, because I could talk forever about how much I hate those quarterback ratings.
But the only thing is, my point was being is, I think the quarterback position is in good
hands. I agree.
The two all-time greats we talk about, look at Herbert in his second year.
Oh, no, absolutely.
There's a lot of talent, only because I think the college game now
is
breeding better quarterbacks, because, look, I'll go back. I'm old. We've established that already. Burt Jones, who was one of my favorite quarterbacks as a kid, was drafted
Bill
in 1973. Bill Belichick thinks he's talented, and I agree. Yeah. I think Burt Jones, if he played today, would be Aaron Rodgers. Very similar skill set. He threw, like, 200 passes in college.
Yeah.
Like, in 3 years at LSU, he ran the ball so that when he got to the NFL, he didn't have the reps. I mean, we talk about reps, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we do the show more often. In theory, we should get better at it. You fly planes, you get better at it. You do cataract surgery, you get better at it. And thank God for that. So when he came in the NFL, he had to learn a lot. These guys are coming in the NFL pretty ready. I mean, now they still have to learn a lot. You see these rookie quarterbacks that have struggled, but they're in much better shape than they were, say, even 20 years ago.
I'd also say that,
like, lots out there.
The college and the pro game is far more similar too.
Absolutely.
Whereas, like, a lot of these things don't translate. Now, the flip side of that, though, is, John, the flip side is sometimes we're seeing, we're getting sold a false, expectations. So, for example, quarterbacks can come in and have a phenomenal first year or two because they're comfortable with the system and the rest of the league hasn't caught up to them. And especially if you have, some physical gifts that give you an edge as well. I'm not saying, again, like, look what we're seeing with Baker Mayfield right now. His first season, albeit, kind of up and down, you saw this, like, all of a sudden, it's like, wow, Baker Mayfield sets the rookie passer record, all that stuff. Now he looks like he's regressed, and now he can't hit the broadside of a barn. And it's like, okay, well, what happened? Well, sometimes these quarterbacks come in far more comfortable in year one and two, but eventually the game catches up. It always catches up. I mean, that's why it's difficult to play quarterback in this league. And to some extent, we're seeing that with Patrick Mahomes. Now, yes, of course, you can look and say, oh, yeah, he's still putting up the touchdown numbers. But you actually look and watch the flow of the game, watch the progression of the game, and you can see that these teams aren't being fooled by the Mahomes effect, you know, where everyone, oh my God, what's going to happen? I mean, again, you still have Tyreek Hill, and he's going to go run around circles. So if you have enough time to just run around and huck the ball up, well, guess what? Tyreek Hill's going to get it. But we saw a trick play the other day, and I don't know if you saw this, but I was watching the game, and it was a double pass reverse, and they didn't budge. They didn't budge because they were like, you know what? Yep. We figured this out. We're getting more comfortable stopping this offense, and that's what happens. So what happens, you know, a couple years down the road when Tyreek Hill isn't Tyreek Hill anymore and Travis Kelce isn't Travis Kelce? Well, guess what? That's where we're going to see what kind of quarterback Patrick Mahomes is. We're going to see him.
No, absolutely. Still a lot to be determined there, because our two guys have been around forever.
And they've dealt
with
that.
They've kind of established the stuff that they can – they can deal with – look, and we'll go back, and I know you want to move on to this, but real quickly, like – Aaron Rodgers didn't have great protection in the NFC Championship game, but he did manage to put up 26 points against the Tampa defense, right? And he missed a few throws and maybe would have won the game. Mahomes was pressured in the Super Bowl, put up 9 points. It's just still, again, Mahomes is still learning, evolving. Rodgers and Brady, who still are learning and evolving. And I think that's what makes them so great, because I don't think – I mean, they're both pretty confident guys. Wouldn't you be if you were both of them?
Oh, for sure.
You have to be. I mean, if you're not, then there's something wrong with you. But I think they always are trying to learn, and they still put the time in watching film. And, you know, you look at Rodgers, who's only a year younger than Ben Roethlisberger. Who looks better? I mean, Rodgers takes care of himself. Roethlisberger doesn't. I mean, Roethlisberger looks like he's been playing in an old-timers game.
Now, to Roethlisberger's credit, we all remember the beginning of his career. I mean, he got absolutely just run over. I mean, he was treated like Jerome Bettis. You know, he would take hit after hit. I mean, unfortunately, and this is kind of the nature of how we, you know, what have you done for me lately? People look and say, oh, well, look at Ben Roethlisberger. He sucks. He doesn't deserve to get into the Hall of Fame, this, that, and the other. And I'm like, I'm sitting here thinking like,
no, he's a Hall of Fame.
Yeah. You don't remember the majority of his career. Yeah. Now in the last few years, he's obviously the pain and all the beatings have caught, you know, cotton up to him, but you know, he certainly is one of the, you know, better quarterbacks that we've seen in this generation. So
absolutely.
Anyways, moving on, let's finish this list because then we can give our like two minute preview tomorrow of Thursday night football. So the fastest 2 minutes, right? Okay, so number three for me, Matt Stafford. You know, he was kind of flying up the ranks here pretty quickly, but and I'll pat myself on the back a little bit, I felt like this game for the Rams and him in particular was a wake-up game, because I felt like they were coming off a little too high over the win over the Buccaneers. And something about Stafford, as great as he is, he's still prone to make some boneheaded plays and decisions. And in this game, in this league, all you have to do is do that once or twice in a game, and that's it. And unfortunately, unfortunately, I think Stafford... as great as he has been playing, he is has had those situations before come up, and it kind of came up this past week. So it's going to be interesting to see if he can rebound tonight against the Seahawks on the road, because, you know, you want to see, like, if you have a bad game, you want to see them bounce back. That's when you're like, okay, all right, you know, Matt's going to be fine. Hood's going to have these issues here and there, but if you believe he can overcome it, he can overcome it. So for me, number three is Matt Stafford.
Number three for me is Mahomes. He does lead the league in touchdown passes. And again, there's been some frustrating parts of watching him, you know, turnovers against the Chargers in week three and, you know, some really foolish passes in week two against Baltimore. And that's on him. You know, they had a double-digit lead, and he decided he was going to, you know, show us his phenomenal ability and ability to play horse out there, and it backfired. So I have him at number three, still an elite quarterback. And, you know, I think a big game this week against Buffalo, although I think Buffalo's slightly overrated. That's going to be another fun primetime game when you've got Buffalo at Kansas City in a rematch of the AFC Championship game. But I got Patty Mahomes number three.
Yeah, and look, I mean, there's no problem with that. Obviously, I think I don't put as much stock into the touchdown passes. Again, I'm not sitting here being, you know, how long are the touchdown passes, or what, you know, how good were they? But like, you know, Look. I mean, how many times am I just going to see him throw a ball up into a quadrant, not an area, a quadrant of the field? I mean, literally just with no regard for anything else and just watch Tyreek Hill run underneath it and then run 70 yards for a touchdown. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I'm going to give him credit for that. But at the same time, you know, I'm not going to be like, oh, man, he leads the league in touchdown passes by like two. You know what I mean? It's just that I got to use my discretion. Let's just put it that way. I'm trying not to sit there and knock people for throwing short touchdown passes, because touchdown passes are touchdown passes. But when it comes to, like, you know, comparing quarterbacks with like, you know what I said last year, when it's like, you know, Brady and Rodgers had roughly, you know, obviously Rodgers threw more touchdown passes, but total touchdowns, all that stuff, I'm not worried about a 5-touchdown difference. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, it doesn't really mean much for two elite offenses. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think they just get it done differently. So, yeah, I mean, but Mahomes is climbing up this list, and I have no problem with that. Number two for me is Tom Brady. And, you know, he's spent, you know, the majority of the season at the top of the list, you know, and rightfully so. I don't think he necessarily did much to lose that spot. I just think my number one has just played at a very high level all four games so far, and it was kind of hard to take that away from him. But again, this kind of goes back to, with Brady, the whole you know, stats thing. It's like, yeah, you know, the past two games he's thrown 2 touchdown passes. Well, mm-hmm. you know, people, you know, of lesser football watching ability will sit there and say, oh, well, he hasn't played good. Well, no, I thought he's been the best Bucs player the last two games, especially in the loss against the Rams. I thought he was definitely the best player, although, again, it just doesn't translate sometimes on the stat sheet. So for me, I think he's holding pretty steady up there at number two. And I couldn't, based on the Bucs schedule moving forward over the next few weeks, I don't expect him to stay at number two too long.
Yeah, I think they should start to go on a roll right now. And I think we're going to agree on this. I have Brady at number two, and I know we're going to agree on who's number one.
Yeah, Kyler Murray. I mean, yeah. It's tough not to, like I said, I mean, it's not so much about Brady's play, but it's more about Kyler Murray's play right now. Now, again, as I said when we first started doing this list, this does not mean I think Kyler Murray's the best quarterback in the league. There's a difference between the power rankings and you know, an ability and a ranking when it comes to, you know, taking into account everything we've seen. So, but right now, I mean, it's hard to argue. The Cardinals are 4-0. I mean, he's playing. I mean, he's I hate this phrase too, because it gets overused so much. But he's a cheat code in a way. I mean, he can run. Yep. He's quick. He can throw the ball. Now, obviously, the problem is, can it be sustained? I mean, how many times? You know, I think I'm pretty sure. I'm kind of just throwing this out there because I heard it, and I'm not quite sure if it's. I know it's close enough to being accurate, but I believe the Cardinals have started like 4-0. Like twice in or like three times or something, and two out of those three times they didn't make the playoffs. In 1 year, I think they finished 5-11. You know what I'm saying? So like 4-0 is great, but let's not, you know, get too excited yet. I need to see this more from Kyler Murray before I'm like, yeah, this guy is on a MVP trajectory. Because think about it, last year Russell Wilson, probably a better start than Kyler Murray. I mean, no one thought week 5, week 6, week 7, if someone would have told me that Russell Wilson wasn't going to get a single MVP vote, most people would be like, you're out of your effing mind. Well, guess what? Right. It's a long season, and we got to see this play out. But for now, Kyler Murray is the man.
Yeah, I've got him number one as well. They're 4-0, the only undefeated team. He's a blast to watch. I mean, the thing about Kyler Murray that's pretty amazing is he's a lot like Russell Wilson, right? Like, mm-hmm. he can beat you from the pocket. He has an absolute cannon, accurate passer, throws a really nice ball. When he gets outside the pocket, I don't know who's more difficult to deal with. Lamar Jackson, who's just bigger. Mm-hmm. He's a bigger athlete. Or Kyler, who's got to be the quickest guy in the league. I watch Kyler Murray when he runs. It reminds me of Barry Sanders. That's damn scary. When he gets loose out in the open, you know, he just makes a lot of people miss. Fun to watch. And again, I don't know how sustainable it is, because I always worry about him because of his size. If there's the injury situation, you know, someone lands on him, he's just a smaller athlete. But last to watch. And look, that division is loaded. You know, teams are going to go 4-2 or 3-3 or 2-4 against each other. They're going to beat each other up, and maybe you win that division with 12 wins because it's such a deep, talented division.
Yeah, and it is, and we're getting it tonight. We're getting that matchup tonight. Yep. So real quick before we go, I guess we'll give our – I mean, we've talked about these two teams pretty well. I do think L.A. rebounds this week. I think they play a little bit better against Seattle, and you mentioned Russell Wilson hasn't thrown an interception. I think he throws two tonight. I think the Rams defense gets to Seahawks, and on the road, I think they go ahead and win, and Seattle falls to 2-3, and the Rams will go to 4-1.
Yeah, they played this game 2 years ago on a Thursday night, and it was like one of those wild games with Russell Wilson throwing a game-winning touchdown with like 10 seconds left where he just fitted into a spot that it had to be. So this should be another exciting game. Seattle's always involved in these kind of wild games, right, where
there's
overtime and someone misses a field goal and Russell Wilson throws a pick in overtime or something crazy. So I expect the same tonight, but I do like the Rams. I still think they're the best team in that division. They're my Super Bowl pick to at least get to the Super Bowl. So I'll stick with that, although it was disappointing how they played against Arizona last week. But I'll go with the Rams tonight in what should be another fun, entertaining, important primetime game.
Yeah, I'm excited. So that's going to do it for us here today. So we will be back tomorrow to give our full Week 5 slate game picks and kind of give our little preview and all that stuff. So in the meantime, give us a follow on Twitter at FPC Radio Live, at Full Press Radio. I'm at IGLEN31. And, of course, give John a follow at JohnSap25. Have a great day, folks, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.